right. Good evening, folks. This is the Welcome Committee for 31 October 2017. It is 9:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Welcome, Rhonda.
Well, my first question is, does anyone have any questions? It seems to be becoming a group of regulars. Tonight we have an additional person, Mr. Lawrence from 586 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Good. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you new to the group?
No. I've been around for a long time.
Okay. I would assume then that you are part of the welcoming committee since you got notice of the phone call.
Sure.
Oh, good. Good. How has anybody been doing as far as their phone calls to the new people in their communities in their state? Anybody having any luck getting a hold of people?
Sometimes I do.
And what does the reception seem to be like?
Favorable.
That's good. Are you letting them know about this call when you're talking to them?
I sure am.
All right. Well, one of these days we'll have just a flood of people that come in.
That's right.
And Margie, how are you doing with yours?
All right, yeah, I just wanted to have him finish. To be honest with you, I was going to tell you anyway, but since you started out this way, I haven't started yet because I'm in a transition. I'm trying to, I support myself, and I'm just trying to find, supply online and trying to find other work, more steady work. So I haven't had time to put, call them. I need a steady schedule with the work that I'm, once I get that under my belt. I mean, I work all the time, but I work two part-time jobs, and I'm going to look at it right now. I still have, if I do North and South Carolina, the new members, when I did look at it, it was three in North Carolina and three in South Carolina, to call if I want to. I think I want to do South Carolina also.
Yeah, and that's not too bad, six people.
No.
I've had mixed results. I've at first had to leave messages quite a bit. I have very few people to call. Mm-hmm. I think there were three on my list also.
Uh-huh.
Leaving messages, and I usually will do that three times. I got a call back from one person. I was kind of hoping that they would be here, but I don't see them. Another call should help push them over the edge.
Now, Rhonda, let me ask, when do you call them? Just when you, because you probably have more of a, do you have a steady schedule, or do you have more time to?
Well, I've been working 6 days a week the last couple of weeks. That's unusual for me.
Uh-huh.
If I call somebody in the evening and I have to leave a message, then the next time I'll try calling them. Since I've been working too much lately, I'll try calling them early on a Saturday afternoon, and if that doesn't work, I'll try them, late mid-morning on Sunday, just varying the times a little bit, mm-hmm. trying to see if I can't get a hold of people.
And do you leave messages on their recorder?
I do. I tell them my name and where I'm from and that I obtained their name through their signing up with the NLA as a new member for the Welcome Committee. So I'm reminding them that I'm somebody that they picked to talk with. And I leave my phone number and the time that I called and the day that I called. And usually I just briefly say, I just want to welcome you to the committee. I want to give you a little bit of information, so if you'd call me back, here's my number. You know, just something that takes 30, 45 seconds to do.
Well, that sounds good, that what you're saying, you know.
Yeah, and then I think I put the script online and sent the script to each of you when you do get to talk to people, and it's pretty quick also.
Yes, it's very good. Thank you. You did. And, you know, what I want to say to them is, yes, you know, welcome aboard, you know, and that's how, you know, I'm at Margie with National Liberty Alliance. And I just like to get a couple minutes to talk with you if you have time to talk. And then I like to, you know, mention to them about the Monday night call, the our newsletter, where to find that on the website. I think I'm going to put in the Mid-State call also. Do you listen to the Mid-State call?
I don't generally.
It's very good. That's what
I end up listening to Monday night after the call is over because I'm so late getting home from work. So.
And that's okay. That's great, too, because it's recorded. And
right.
Then I want to talk to them about the, we have the common law grand jury tab, you know, go there and read our documents, you know, because it's so important. Once you read the documents, then you can, you know, learn how to write these papers yourself. And
right.
I just want to stress all that to them. And should I stress about the new sheriff's committee and all and the,
well, see, you're getting into a lengthier phone call, which is entirely up to you. My idea was to give them just a brief overhead and then get them on this call and go through all those headers where they can find things, because it can be confusing where to find things, and try to pull out information from them as to what their likes and dislikes and their abilities are, and that way we can steer them to committees that they might have interests and skills in.
So your suggestion, maybe don't...
You can say we have a ongoing information with the sheriffs, and, you know, we have... outside of the Welcome Committee, we have a committee that deals with our communications with two-way radios, but not going into great detail, you know. But, like I say, the length of the call, the amount of information is entirely up to you.
Okay.
I am not going to say this is what you have to say, period, no more, no less, you know. Whatever you'd like to do. You're big people. You can figure it out.
Yeah, okay. And then I like to let them know, yes, about the Monday night call. The, what's the other one? What do you think about the welcome tab? What do you think about mentioning to them about the welcome tab, to go in there and read that information and watch the videos? And...
Right, and there's a forum on there. A tab for forum if they want to give information, ask questions, you know. And I try to get to that forum at least a couple of times a week. I don't make it.
You mean the recent, on the website, on the right-hand side, it's called recent comments? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about in the Welcome Committee, there's a forum tab that you can ask questions and leave information.
Okay. I guess you can get it there, too. But what I found interesting is on the website, that has recent comments, and I read through, I look through, I skim through those, look through those, and I see a lot of interesting things, but I haven't had time
to.
I think that's very important, and I haven't had time to. May I ask you this? Who responds to those? Anybody can respond to these people, right? There's just a lot of good things on there, on the recent comments section.
Right, and you can have a discussion about anything you want to have a discussion about.
Yeah, in the recent comments, I know what I want to say to them, because what's important to me, everybody, that's what I was going to say to them also, is the Constitution course, education. Take the Constitution course first and, start that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and that's one of the, if we have them, that's one of our pillars.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, well, anybody else have any information, questions? Guess not. Does anybody feel we need to go through the tabs, or are you, since you're all members, I would assume you've probably been through the tabs line item by line item.
You talking to me? I've gone through them, and I try to study everything. Pardon?
Yeah. I said anybody. Dan and is it Jay, or do you go by Jayco? Well, you're all members of the Welcome Committee, so I am assuming that you have been through the tabs and you are fairly decent at finding things that you need. And it's really the new people that we need to familiarize with the things.
You're right. You know, and there's such a lot on there. There's such a lot on that, on the National Liberty Alliance website. And so I just point out highlight things because, the welcome tab, watch the videos and, go in there and take time. And there's just a lot in that page there.
If you took a tab a night and went through, particularly when you get to the educational tabs and the court case tabs, we could probably spend a year reading through all those things. There's that much information. Well, Dan, Robert, you have any input, suggestions, questions?
No, I really don't.
Okay.
And Jan's not here this evening.
Oh, I guess he isn't. His name is there. It's just kind of real light.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't even see his name.
Oh, yeah, it says Moderator Console 741. He's hanging back and listening.
Ah, that may be.
Well, I don't have anything else.
Until we start getting some people in here, the new members and all.
Right.
There isn't a whole lot that we can do other than encourage the Welcome Committee members that are here to make an effort to get some of these new people in to the call.
Yeah, just keep up the calls. Yeah.
And then maybe the idea is to see if they want to join this call, but see if they want to help as well with the making the calls
to
new members.
If the new members will come into the call, then we can find out more about what their, you know, skills are, what their special, you know, there's something that everybody has, you know, special skills, and maybe they'll be able to help us in some way, and we can find out what that is, and you know, it might even be that we form a new committee just because they have a certain skill that would be good.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I can, you know, somebody tells me that they would like to see such and such a committee, then I can get it arranged. And so we want to know as much as we can find out, and the best way is just to talk with these new people and get their interest enough to bring them into the call so that we can begin working with them and begin knowing who they are and get them introduced to the people that are here and make them feel welcome.
Yeah, if somebody comes in and says they've been interested in two-way radios forever and they have a FAA license, we can put them in touch with Terry and they can work with that group. Or if somebody's had experience with COS and they maybe not even know that the experience they have pertains to a COS, we can connect them with the Thursday call and get them into that group.
And
that's things like that.
When you mention COS, COS is not known by a lot of people. However,
right, they may be doing things.
They may be calling it by a different name.
Right. Right.
Neighborhood Watch, for instance.
Right.
Or the government watchdog group. You know, it's known by a lot of different names, but it's a COS.
Right. And once we find out what they're doing, we can say, oh, we call that a COS. Here's the people you need to get in contact with, and here's the call you need to be on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
when we call them, how should we mention this call on Tuesday night?
It is a committee of, or a welcome committee call for new members. It's kind of like a meet and greet and get to know you.
Okay, that sounds good for you to say that to them. It's like a meet and greet and get to know you, and we'd like you to be on the Tuesday night call and, you know, give them the time, you know, the information. Telephone number.
Yeah.
A lot of these new members, they come in because they have an interest. They heard something. They maybe sat in on a Monday night call and was interested. And then they never receive a call. They feel like they don't belong because nobody's contacting them. So, yeah, we want to welcome them. We want to make them feel welcome. We want them to be a part of what we're doing. We would like for them to be a part of the committees, maybe work on the committee with us, or, you know, use the skills that they have that they enjoy. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. We don't want to leave new members just sitting out there wondering, well, what's going on? Nobody ever talks to me.
Yeah.
Now, there's this one interesting man on my, he's a new member, but I don't know, it doesn't say, you know, when they came in. There's no date.
Right.
So I can't wait to talk to him. He's a civics teacher in, I'm in North Carolina. He's a civics teacher, so I'd like him, you know, I want to talk to him and see if he, I don't know how he could implement it you know, in a public school system. See, I don't.
Well,
yeah.
if we talk to them, then we find out how things fit. And
I'm gonna welcome them on the call.
Yeah, we never know how things are gonna fit until we talk with them and find out what's happening in their life and tell them what's happening here.
Yeah, and being a civics teacher, he may come in and go and do the civics course and come back and say, hey, in my experience, this needs to be added, or I suggest this. And in that case, we would put him with Robert, Dan, John. You know, I wouldn't ever attempt to go one-on-one with somebody who's a civics teacher because I don't know enough yet. But certainly the guy would. And maybe we would give further information to each other.
We'd love to have civics teachers come in because they may have good suggestions on changes that could be made or additions that could be added or maybe we can teach them something.
Right. Oh, sure. We sure can. Yeah, you know, we can't get enough knowledge. I mean, it's just, and then it'll be something different.
And if they're a teacher, he might find it worthwhile to maybe form a group with the students that he has.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'd like him to do. But I don't know how you implement that. You know,
well,
it's so controlled.
That's something that if we get him on the call, then we can find out these things and then we can work out the how-to and everything.
Okay. I like talking to people. I like meeting people all over the world. I mean, but, you know, I have to work. But
that's the goal of all of this work that we're all doing. Getting people in and getting them active and getting things accomplished.
But what I like everyone to do, because I love education and it's so important, that I'm going to stress that, I mean, first thing is the Constitution course. Then the grand jury, read those, it's good to learn them and read those documents. And then the welcome committee call, and then things like that.
The website, the NLA website, has so much information on it that
sure does.
Most people don't get through it all, and they may miss some things that be of great interest to them. And so if we go through and point these different things out, maybe we get them to be more informed, more interested in doing things or helping. So it's important. The communication is very important.
It sure is.
We need to get them in.
Okay, well, we all know what we need to do.
Okay.
And we just need to keep doing what we're doing.
Rhonda, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Well, last time, I'm sorry I didn't get the call last Tuesday night, but I'm just so busy, like I say, I just slipped my mind until after the fact. But you said, I heard you say, I'm a good listener. I like to really listen to what people have to say. I like to listen. You learn a lot by listening.
Right.
You said, well, I'm going to go now, okay? And then you said, you got to get ready for a town meeting, or are you doing something with the town hall meeting?
My town city council meetings. The city of Richland holds a city council meeting at 7:30 the first and third Tuesdays of the month.
Okay.
And I try to go to all of them. I've made very few of them, mainly because I've been on this call. you know. But I like going to them because it tells me what's going on in the city and what needs to be addressed and things like that, what I need to talk to the people in the town about pertaining to what their local area is having happen at the time.
What their issues are, you mean? What their issues might be or something?
Right. We're all concerned about what's going on in the country.
Right.
But what affects you locally, for instance, we have a plaque on one of our street corners for Robert E. Lee. One man in town decided that needed to be taken down. So that's something that was discussed at the city council meeting. And the upshot of it basically was, one man doesn't rule the city. So our plaque remained. He even had the silly suggestion to change it to a different Lee, leave the same plaque, but attribute it to a different Lee. Not Robert, but to Joseph Lee, you know, whatever his suggestion. He had several. And I thought, well, that's a little bit ridiculous. It says Robert E. Lee on it. Why would you try to psychologically trick yourself into believing it belongs to something else that it doesn't? You know, but that's some of the thinking that's out there when people are so desperate, in my opinion only, to be a snowflake.
Well, that's the sad thing, is that
ignorance.
One man should not be able to make that kind of a change.
Right.
But if nobody, if no one objects, if no one objects to it, that one person might win.
Right. And that's why I think the town or the city council meetings are so important.
Yes. You have to know what's going on. And that's what COS is all about, too, is when you form a COS, you know, you should always get a group from the community that will be at all the town halls, the city councils, the county commissioners meetings to know what's going on and report back to the other members and also to hold discussions on what you think about it and whether you want to let it go through or whether you want to stop it.
Well, that's why I started going to them to begin with, because I was having so much trouble getting the COS together. I thought that maybe if I went to these and like-minded people are there, then I could pull a COS group from those people who go there.
Right.
You know, I've only been able to be at a couple so far, but people are more than willing to talk. People have some pretty strong opinions. And luckily, around here, most of the opinions are not of the snowflake variety.
And, you know, COS is all about the will of the people in the county.
Right.
And so
right.
You get a couple of people who are who have a strong will and talk to them about forming a committee of safety, and they know other people that think just like them, maybe they'll go and talk to those other people and put a, you know, 5 or 7 member core group together and get
right.
The ball rolling.
Yeah.
So it is a good place to recruit.
Right. And that, like I say, that was my original idea.
Uh-huh.
I would like to continue going to them every other Tuesday and every other Tuesday, because that's when they're held. As long as I can make it, I will be going to them. Oh boy, the dogs are getting rambunctious.
Now, did you vote on that? Is this what is it? City hall meeting, or did you vote on this?
Council meeting.
Or city council meeting.
Right. Right.
Did you all have to vote on this? About that issue.
It's just like what you see on TV. Somebody gets up and speaks and says, I don't like what you guys are, what the city council is proposing, and here's why I don't like it. And different people get up and tell their view about it,
uh-huh.
And the city council is the ones that end up voting after they've listened to all these people. And if you have halfway decent city councils, they will vote the way the majority of the people have given their opinions on. When you get a city council that's very far left or very far right or very out of touch with the constituency, that's when you have the trouble where you need to end up recalling them.
Yes.
If they're going to override the will of the people, then they don't belong there.
And that happens in many, many different areas, cities
right.
and towns. And this is where a good, strong committee of safety, you know, if they're strong, they have a majority of the people in the county as members.
Right.
And when they recall someone, you can be pretty sure they're gonna win that recall.
Stop it. Yeah.
So.
And
you gotta know that with a good COS in every county, then you control not only the county but your state. And if every state has a good, strong showing of committees of safety, then you control federal government.
Now, well, as you know, the east side of Washington State is very conservative. The west side of the Cascades for Washington State is very Democratic, very left. It's just a battle with them. Anytime new taxes or new money is needed on the west side, they tax the east side to pay for it, you know, so it really makes people mad. So,
if you do try to form a committee of safety, do you have to do this, you know, this rules and regulations or something, right? Charter, you have to get five people, like one, the secretary,
the NLA has all the information on how to form it and the rules that you use and all that.
There's no rules in the state that you have to follow. It's just you just bring what you want.
Charter,
you
know, resolution,
and,
you mean?
You just bring some of your friends together and and say, we need to do this in order to take back our constitutional rights in the county and keep our elected officials on the up and up. And you bring people together, you have meetings, you determine whether you want a meeting every week, every other week, every just once a month or whatever it is, but you always, the core group, their responsibility is to determine what the will of the people is in the county.
Well, if we had a large, strong COS up in King County, which is Seattle-Tacoma area, which our wonderful leftist governor has decided is a sanctuary city, we could get rid of that with a good, strong COS, even though it is so left up there.
Uh-huh.
That's when you start getting rid of people. So.
And when they, you know, if you have a strong COS and they're resisted and you do a recall and you get rid of one person, then elected officials start thinking twice about resisting what the people want. They start listening then to what the people want. I know where I'm at. In my county, the county commissioners, they pretend to listen, but they've got their mind made up before they even hold a meeting.
They
very seldom ever do what the majority of the people want.
Well, couple the COS with the In Power movement, and you've got a wonderful match there.
Absolutely.
Right. So. But I'm just wondering, when you do form these, you know, you'd like maybe get five people. Someone has to be the secretary. Someone has to be the whole thing.
You have the director and the secretary and
treasurer.
And treasurer. And, you know, whatever officials you want. You know, the core group determine what you need.
It's just about an issue, really, is what it is, to try to get, you know, to start it that way, I guess. You know, you've got to...
Well, you take up an issue, and once you've taken care of that issue, then you take on the next issue, you know. So...
But my question was, do you have to form the right way? Do you have to have the secretary, the whatever you just said, the secretary, the treasurer, the
director? The information we have is generally it's run by Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah.
So I would assume you would need the proper people or the proper nomenclature for the people that are the committee that run any of the meetings. But like Robert said, the core group is the one who starts it, who determines all that.
Every county has different issues and have different needs.
Yeah.
And so they will each individually determine, you know, what it is that they need as officers and in the core group. And of course, the core group is going to change out every 6 months or never any longer than a year. They're going to have elections to replace the core group. And they'll determine when the elections are going to be and how they want to do it. Everything in each individual county will be determined by those in the county. But they should always be constitutional.
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing they would do is they would get rid of or make sure that people change their way of behavior or attitude, however you want to put it, if they're not constitutional and they are in the COS. Or somebody who lets the power, if you will, of it go to their head and tries to take over. Because
and that's why they...
That's not good.
That's why they replace them every 6 months to a year.
Right, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They have to be humble.
Yeah, and it gives everybody in the community a chance to become part of a core group for a period of time, make everybody feel like they're, you know, helping, make everybody feel like they're a part of something. And that's really important, is for people to feel like they're important, and they are.
That's right.
And people should take their rotation as part of that core group, as opposed to what normally happens in most groups where a few people do the work and the rest of them just kind of belong.
Right. that happens in regular work. I mean, in the workplace.
It happens everywhere. People get complacent. I belong to such and such, but I've never been to a meeting, and I've never held a position, and, you know. And that should be one thing that is told up front, that, you know, everybody participates.
And then you mean change roles, too? Is that what you're saying? Like, one person be the secretary for a while?
Yeah, like Robert said, every 6 months.
Everybody gets a chance to be the leader.
Yeah.
And actually, no one person ever is the leader in a COS. It's all the people in the county. You know, it's all determined by their will. So actually, the people themselves are in power. The director is just kind of keeping the core group together and making sure that everything is running smoothly. So as a leader, you're really just an organizer.
Uh-huh.
Right. So.
And then sounds like you need to read all this again, you know, everything about the COS, right, the Robert's Rules and the, you know. I looked into it a long time ago. Something was real long, but it was either the charter. All of it's interesting. I love reading. That's how I learn, all these self-taught. Read all these papers and everything. But one of them was so many pages. Charter?
We have it on the MLA website, and we also have it on my website,
committee.org.
Committee.org. Very good nighttime reading when you're trying to go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
If you get too far into it, you won't be going to sleep very soon.
Oh, right.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It don't you agree, in order to, I think you have to study it and read it yourself first. And what do you think before you try to form a committee of safety? Or what do you think?
Well, you can't implement something you know nothing about.
Okay.
No. So.
But my
we're running an hour here, so I am going to get off of here and get a few things done, and then if it's not too late, I'm going to make a phone call or two.
Great. Well, I just will say that my website is based on all the old documents from our forefathers and all. And so the information there is authentic.
And it's called what? Committee. Say that again, Robert.
Committee.org.
Okay. Committee.org. All right.
I do family ancestry, and I found found out that one of my ancestors was part of a committee of safety when the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, and I actually found some secretarial transcription from some of the meetings that they had. It was quite interesting. A little difficult to read with all of the difference in the way that words used to be spelled.
Uh-huh.
But once you kind of got used to how they were using, you know, the, T-H-E-E instead of the, that type of thing, it got easier to read after a bit. But, it's been around a long time, and even before that.
Oh, yeah, I looked into it. I research everything. I looked into a committee safety but I have to focus on my work. I mean,
you might be interested in the fact that all 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were members of a committee of safety.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard that, or, you know.
Yeah. So, Okay, so, well, I am going to get off of here.
All right.
Oh,
well, we're going
to... Well, Rhonda, just a second. If you say you do, I was adopted as a child. Well, three of us were in the family. I was five people, siblings in my family. But do you, but I don't have the money to, she's probably in her 80s now, my real mother.
Uh-huh.
Do you any of that? Do you try to search? I have her name. I have her maiden name and everything.
Oh, I have found marriages for uncles and cousins that I never knew existed. Just all kinds of things like that. So,
I would just like to.
Yeah, it's very interesting. One out of wedlock child is born and an aunt takes the child in. The child never knows it's not his real mother, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all very interesting. And I look at all the people that came before me as people. I don't care what they did, what mistakes they made, what they did with their life. They're all people just like us.
Uh-huh.
It's just facts of the family. You know, some people will say, oh, that's a black sheep. I don't want anything to do with them. They don't exist, blah, blah, blah. I don't feel that way. I don't look at it that way. Everybody in the family has merit irregardless.
You're right. I agree with you. But I'm just saying, I just don't have the time right now. But it will cost me money to try to, you know, it takes time and all to see if I could find my mother. I'm sure she's still living. I don't know, but she would be 85 now, my real mother, my biological mother.
Well, obviously your place to start is the adoption agency.
I'm from Columbus, Ohio, but for 37 years, I've lived in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But try the adoption agency, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's where I would start. Well, actually, you should start first with family members. Ask questions of family members, what they know about it.
Well, I did. I'll say something to you. My sister, this is Halloween, but she was here on Halloween, but she, the next day, which is tomorrow, November 1st, 2012, she died. She was 58 years old, and she did a lot in her life. A drug had suicidal tendencies, and she put a gun in her mouth and shot it, and she took her life.
Oh, wow.
But,
no, I'm sorry.
But the,
wow.
But the drug is called Restoril. It's a sleeping pill.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow's November 1st. She's been gone 5 years now.
That's
but the drug did say that. It's Restoril, like I say. I wanted to do something about it, but I couldn't because I wanted to do a wrongful death on it back then. But she was married. So then the statute arena, he would have to, my brother-in-law, her husband, he would have to want to do something. But, of course, he was so emotional, distraught, the tragedy of her, what happened. He found her at the palm tree at Sarasota, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I know.
Yeah, those are bad events, and probably every family has at least one or two of those type of things, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure you've had to deal with that.
You know, well, thank you. But I know as soon as she pulled the trigger, you know, that didn't kill her. It was, she didn't even like the gun. They just had it in the family for, you know, in case someone broke in, you know. But I figured it all out right away. She loved God. She believed in God. So she went, her soul went to heaven.
Well,
so she's up there with
good.
My mom. She's up
yeah,
there
we,
with my mom.
We need to let Rhonda get off now. And,
okay. Okay.
Take
yeah,
care
I
of
know
her.
We could be on here for hours, but All right.
I just wanted,
same time next week.
Okay.
Yep.
Just wanted to say that to you. All right.
Yep.
All right.